Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast. I'm Will Fletcher, and as always, I'm here with Sam Jarabne.
Yes, thank you for joining us once again. And this week, in a minute, we're going to talk to Sam Hutton. But before we do, Will, you're packed and ready for your exciting trip, aren't you?
Wouldn't say quite finished packing yet. Still, we've got one more day to go. I leave tomorrow night. So it's, well, night, morning. Or the day after morning at 1 in the morning. So, yeah, we've still got a busy day. We actually haven't been able to pack at all the lorry because that's had to go in for servicing and they've taken longer than we'd hoped. So we've got a very, very busy day tomorrow.
That's good. And you're going to Villamora, aren't you, for 7 weeks?
Yeah, out there, jumping for 6 weeks. But by the time, you know, the drive there and back, 7 weeks, we're taking, I think, 15 horses between me and Ollie. So we're rerouting the whole place because it's been tricky to find enough shows in Britain. And as much as everyone's really tried to make it happen, we're very lucky to have the opportunity to go down to Portugal, take a few of the horses that we would like to see, you know, come up through the ranks, as well as best horse and Ollie's few horses to jump the bigger classes. So yeah, really, really looking forward to it. And that's probably a bit of an understatement, really.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy the nice weather, and I'm sure we'll get updates regularly on here.
I'm sure you'll be very happy in London in the freezing cold. Well, loving the sun in October in Villamora. So
anyway, on with the podcast. Let's see what happens when we'll caught up with Sam Hutton.
I have joining me today Sam Hutton, Nations Cup rider for Great Britain for many occasions. He's based now with Abdel Saeed in Holland. How are you doing today, Sam?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, very good. Just come back from a show, so I've walked in straight into doing a podcast. So very, it's good to see you, speak to you again, even not see you. how's everything been with you? Have you been able to get out to a few shows recently?
Luckily, actually, yeah, the show started here pretty much straight after lockdown. And then we're lucky that we've had a few international shows. So I've managed to get some new horses that we bought over the lockdown time to start to get them going, get them out competing and get to know them. So it's been quite good.
Oh, that's really good. What can you tell us a bit more about your new horses?
I just got a new 10-year-old called H&M Kilo. He's by Cardento. He was formerly ridden by Peter Fredrickson.
Oh, very good.
So I'm really excited to have him on the team. I took him to his first show this weekend and he was fourth in the ranking class. And then we had a really unlucky late jump down in the Grand Prix.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah. And then I've got a new 8-year-old called Celeste by Balabé. She's really scopey, very careful, still green at the level. I just stepped her up to 140 now. So I'm really excited about her as well.
That's really good. And where have they owners' horses or are they part of, because like we said at the beginning, you're now based with Abdel Saeed. And is this the horses for you to keep or are they commercial horses?
These are horses kind of to keep. Kilo's from an owner. Through Abdel, and Celeste is from Abdel. He bought her, God, when did he buy her? Like, probably like 3 months ago.
Oh, that's very good, because it's always trying to keep the good ones around, isn't it? Is the tough thing. As soon as a horse starts going really well at that top level, it's really hard not to take the bait and have it sold on.
Yeah, of course, because you have to pay for all the other horses and then run exactly. The farm and everything. Yeah, costs get high, but okay. Obviously, everything's for sale at one point. Yeah, at a price. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, there's only so much you can turn down, especially when they get to being the absolute top. But it's being based with Abdel, which you've been for with how many years now?
I've been with Abdel just over 5 years now.
Time flies.
I know. I know. It's crazy.
How quick that's been. And so how did that come about and what's the general atmosphere like there? Is something you've really enjoyed? Obviously, being there for 5 years must be something you've enjoyed enough.
Yeah, I have a really good relation with Abdel and we work really well together. So, yeah, I really, really enjoy being there. he called me actually when I left my last job, and then he called me, and then he was like, come for a chat. And then I went and met him, and then we got on really well. We kind of knew each other before, and then then we just gone on from there, and it's been great.
That's really good. And what's he like at the stables at home? Does he run his stables any differently from a normal rider? Is there any you know, does he have any individual quirks or things that he likes to do with them?
No, generally everything's like most stables actually. Like, okay, the care of the horses is very high because the horses are worth a lot of money, and we try and only have the best horses possible. So yeah, we generate, like, we do a lot of hacking. They're out of the boxes 3 times a day. They're flatted, sometimes lunged again in the afternoon.
Just trying to make sure the care of the horses is the most important.
Yeah, exactly. Try and keep them as healthy as possible and going for as long as possible in the sport.
Definitely. And before then, you also spent some time with Jan Tops, obviously one of the biggest figures in show jumping, especially with him running the Global Champions Tour. How was that experience for you?
That was amazing as well, actually. When I first went there, I was a bit like wowed by everything, because I obviously hadn't been in Europe very much. So everything was like massively different, and the stable was very spectacular, and it was a totally different kind of horse riding and side of things that I'd never really experienced. So yeah, it was.
In what sort of ways was it different, sir?
Okay, so when I was in England working for Tony, when I left school, I worked for Tony straight away. I was there like 8 years. And it was more about the sport, and I only had kind of in my head like that I wanted to win. It didn't matter whether it was like the meter class or the 150 class. It was all about that competition.
Winning.
And then I really learned the trading side of things, like the different aspects, the horses suiting people and getting horses ready to go in a good way that people would enjoy to ride them. And so, yeah, I learned a lot on that side of things and about the management of the horses. So like the health and keeping the horses really fit, and how important it is to have a horse that's fit to prevent from injuries. And so, yeah.
No. What's the general philosophy, the fit of the horse, the more injury resistant they are?
Well, yeah, we always try and keep our horses like an athlete, as fit as possible. So when they're competing, that they're in the best shape possible, that it doesn't take too much out of them when they're jumping. And of course you have really different types of horses. So you have blood horses, and then you have like colder horses. Blood horses, I feel like, have to be less fitter than the colder horses, because a lot of the time you're also trying to relax them. And so we do a lot of hacking with those horses and in the field, and lunging. And then with the colder ones, I feel like they need to be fitter because they need to have more energy. Mm. And the more fitter they are, the more energy they actually have.
Mm. Definitely. And it's I've always found it's the sharper canter, isn't it? Especially for one that's slightly cold. The horse being a bit more fit, you can get the canter a bit sharper, which definitely helps, especially when you go out and have to jump, like massive jumps.
Definitely. And then a course of 13 efforts at 160 or 150 is really tough for anybody. So, yeah, I think it really is really important. And also for the rider, if you're not fit yourself and you have to try and jump around the course of 13 jumps, especially with a technical course where everything's coming quite quickly, it does take a toll. You do, if you feel like you're a little bit out of shape, that you've been eating too much and not going to the gym or not riding too much at home, then you feel the difference actually.
Yeah. What do you do on that side of things?
Tell you the truth, I used to do Pilates and a bit of working out with a personal trainer. I worked a lot on my core and strength like that. And then I got quite busy with work, and then I didn't really do it so much. And then I did notice a difference in my physique, like when I was riding and stuff. So then I started doing like home workouts. Like I just get a mat and then do some exercises like core training and stuff. And then when I'm away, because I'm quite a lot away on the shows and stuff, and most of the hotels have gyms and stuff as well. So that's really good. So you, after a long day, you can go and relax and have a little run and work out on some of the machines. Or if you don't have a really early class, also you can start your morning in the gym. But it's important that you don't do too much, because
Tire yourself out.
Yeah, and you don't want to feel stiff. Like, I know if I work out too much in the gym, I can't walk for the next 2 days. So yeah, I wouldn't take it too hard, especially when you're on the show.
We found out that you can win an Olympic gold medal with Nick Shelton not even being able to walk. So
yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Walking. Maybe
that's
walking
crazy.
That's just mental, having to go around in a, you know, walking the course of an Olympics, and he's just going around in his mobility scooter because his hips were so bad. But it's wild.
It's
but
crazy.
It's something that the fitness of the riders, I do think, has definitely come more into play in over the past 10 years, say, as the sport's getting more and more professional. And my brother Ollie has spent, I don't know if you know, has spent quite a bit of time with Steve Gerdat over the past couple of months. I think he was there for almost 2 months.
Yeah.
And what Steve's really keen on is the mental fitness. So it's, as well as him going on incredibly long bike rides, he'll before a class he'll put like a headband on with a ball like stuck to your forehead, and would like a boxer would like punch it around just to try and, apparently he says, it's what the F1 drivers do, and it keeps your reactions as quick as possible. And it's something that Ozzy's been trying to do. As much as it's winding everyone up as you're trying to muck out the stables in the morning, as he's punching a ball around. But I think it's really interesting.
That's crazy. I'd never heard of that, actually. But it's actually quite interesting seeing that side or hearing about that side of things as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because obviously coming around the corner, you've got to see your stride in a split second, don't you?
And you have to make a decision whether you're going to wait, go, you need to have them bending around your leg a bit more, or yeah.
Exactly. So he, it's the same, because obviously, well, I find that horse sports is most similar to F1, and it's the same sort, similar principle, and they do it all the time, just to, because it's weird, because you start doing the exercise and you're useless, and then you start building up the reflexes, and it just makes it quicker. I don't know. There's one for anyone listening if they want to have a little practice, and don't be ashamed if you only start with two.
I'm definitely considering to do this, actually. It sounds quite fun.
It is a bit, but it's so annoying when Ollie's doing it and you're trying to get some work done. So, but anyway, going right back to the beginning, we're working backwards through your career where you've done so well. I'm sure we'll go back to that, but how did you start out with riding? Where did your love of show jumping come from?
I started actually riding back in infant school. A couple of friends had a riding party, and then it started from there. Then I can't really remember it so well. But then I enjoyed it so much, and then my parents let me go back for like Easter egg hunts and stuff like that at the like the riding school, and like just fun days. And then they bought me a pony, and then it kind of went from there. And then I started the pony club when I was 10. And then when I was 14, I had to make the decision between doing eventing and show jumping, because I really enjoyed eventing as well.
I didn't know that. Was how hard was that decision?
It was quite hard, because I loved the cross country, but I really liked the show jumping. I loved going fast as well, so it was really difficult for me to make my mind up. But then after, actually, I went to my mum took me to Olympia at Christmas, and then watching that, like, it was just amazing, the atmosphere and everything, and I was like, yeah, this is really what I want to do.
Oh, that's it's really, really interesting. And it's lovely to hear, you know, some of the riders coming through the Pony Club ranks. I know I did it myself, and it was part of the reason that I, you know, fell in love with riding. It's it makes life just a lot more fun. So it is a lot of the top riders, people think that, oh, you know, they just grow up and they go up the ranks like you probably should do. But people do start from all different ways, don't they?
Yeah, I must say the Pony Club for me was really a great stepping stone, because not only did I have a lot of fun learning to ride there and stuff, it was all about, you learn a lot with the management as well, like simple things, just learning to be able to put a pair of bandages on and to muck out a stable properly, how to clean a bridle. These are simple things, but actually they're quite important and you need to know how to do it properly. And it's no better way, I think, than to start.
Yeah, definitely. I thinking back to my first attempt at Pony Club, I managed, maybe the only person ever in the history of Pony Club, to fail the D test. they asked, I might have said this on a previous podcast, but they said, I asked, where's the pole? And I just looked blankly and said, on the jump. yeah, my stable, obviously being a bit more into football at that stage, the stable management side obviously needed to work on, and luckily I'm well aware where that is. But no, it's really interesting. So moving on from, you know, your choice from eventing and show jumping, where did your pony days and young rider days, where did that take you?
So actually somebody in the Pony Club got me in contact with Tony, and Tony Newbury. Then I went there in like summer holidays and Easter holidays, and I started training with him. And then from then on, when I left school, they offered me a job, and then full-time kind of training. So then I went there at 17, and then I stayed there till I was 23. And then I moved, I went to France. A friend got me a job in France, and I didn't really like it in Normandy, actually, where I was. So then I come back, and then your mum had the injury. So then I helped you guys out a bit, and then I think I was...
Had a go at a Puissance at Horse of the Year show?
A Puissance, yeah. And then, no, that was... And we were second in the Fox final.
Exactly, I was coming to that. You rode Hello Annie.
Hello Annie, yeah.
And you just pipped, weren't you?
Yeah, by William Funnell. He was last to go.
Yeah, but how key was Tony and Fiona in your riding career?
Actually, I learned basically all the main basic stuff that from show jumping. They taught me everything. They really pulled me from, say, Pony Club level to jumping. I won my first area trial when I was 18. And yeah, I couldn't have done that without going there. I think I learned a great deal of horsemanship there, and they taught me a lot. I'm really appreciative for that.
Yeah, it was especially at those times going to, you know, the county circuit. You seemed at one stage almost unbeatable when winning everything. It's always going so fast, like you said.
Yeah, I was really lucky because we had some really great horses that we produced from like 4 and 5 year olds. And then they just, when I first went there, when I was like 17, when I left school, and then by the time I was like 21, then they started getting ready for the higher level. And then, we were really lucky. And I had a great team of horses around me. And then Tony was there as well. So, no, it's good.
Definitely. And was it when you were based with Tony where you had your first Nations Cup appearance?
Yes, with Cornetta. It was from an owner called Ali Gander, and that was in Lisbon. I don't actually remember which year that was now. I think it was when I was 22, actually. Yeah.
Can you remember your team and how you went?
My team was William Whittaker, Daniel Mosley. I can't remember the other one. I actually had a terrible round.
Sorry, bring it up.
My horse on the way down to Lisbon, she got like a bit of hay stuck in her eye. So she had a bit of a swelling there, and she couldn't really see out that eye so well. But we had her checked by the vet, and they said, "Look, she's fine. She can jump." And okay, I'm not using that as an excuse, but yeah, it was. I think yeah, I had
the hay
like
wasn't in your eyes, Sam.
No. Well, maybe. I think I had like four down or something.
Oh, Jesus.
But I went from like jumping in England, and then like it's quite big, the area trials and the international trials. Yeah. But then going to Lisbon, it was like really another level, and it was like a complete shock. And I was like really out of my depth. I wasn't really ready for it. But then I went home, and then we regrouped, and then yeah, and then you get stronger from those sort of things.
Like, there's something I wanted to touch on was, you know, you've gone the whole way down to Lisbon, a long journey, and you've had pinned your hopes on that, and it's such a big deal being in on your First Nations Cup team. How was it like coming back from that after having a bad round?
It was tough, actually. It was, I felt very like demoralized and like, oh, am I good enough? Like, should I be doing this? Or, and then Tony was like, look, come on, there's always, you always have to look on to the next show. One minute you're on the floor and show jumping, and then the next you're winning. And that's really something people have to remember, because you're working with an animal, it's not just yourself, and everybody has bad days. So yeah, you always have to look on to the next. Okay, and but I also think it's important to remember what has happened in your bad rounds, then you can work to improve on them at home. But then you have to go in the ring again, and then you have to go in and to compete and be positive.
Definitely. Like, it's really important to work on what you've done in your bad rounds, isn't it? It's all well and good just trying to block it out, but you want to make sure that at home you can train and make sure that none of that will happen again. So next time, if ever that situation occurs, you can come back again and you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, no, I think some people say it's better to like totally forget about that round and wipe it off. But I do like to go home, think how I can do it better and try and work out how I can improve, and that doesn't happen again. It is hard to move on from bad rounds sometimes, but you have to, that is part of the sport, and you have to be strong with that.
Definitely. And my dad always says one of the best riders ever, that is John Whittaker, obviously.
Yeah.
One of the best there's been. He said, you can definitely have a terrible round, and he's like, ah, bad rounds happen. He'll look back, see what he can do better, and before you know it, if you had a bad round on Thursday, he's probably won the Grand Prix on Sunday. So it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's the mentality more than anything. You also got the chance to jump on some of the best shows in the world while being on Super League Nations Cup teams. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about your, you know, experiences there?
Yeah, I was really lucky and to ride on some of the best shows. Like in St. Gallen, I rode there, Faustabo. I rode in Aachen as well with Happy Dam. I got him when he was 8 years old. And then very quickly, he stepped up to the big level. So that was really exciting for me. And I got a chance to ride these amazing shows.
Yeah, it was really good. And you were on the team, obviously, at St. Gallen. And it was a bit of a weird Nations Cup, because the first round wasn't so great. Yet the second round, you came out guns blazing, jumped a fantastic clear round. How you can then come from a bad round straight away, amazing clear.
Well, I jumped him on the Friday in the Grand Prix, and he jumped so good, and I was like really relaxed and thinking, oh, this is gonna go really well. And then I gave him light work on the Saturday and then on the Sunday, I just had him a touch too fresh. And then he was thinking about getting to the other side of the jumps too quickly. So, of course, I come out of the ring and I was, like, devastated. I was like, no, how can this happen? Like, you know, when you're expecting things to go good and then...
Yeah.
So I was really gutted. And then Abdo was like, right, sort yourself out. And then he kicked me and was like, come on, you got to get this done. And then I worked him a bit more, and then he went in and then he jumped a fantastic clear. So that was really an amazing feeling to go back after having a bad round and then to jump a clear round for the team, that was really great.
Definitely. No, it was really it was great performance to come back after such a, you know, an awkward, shall we say, round there. So just before we wrap this up, I think my phone's about to give way after a long day at the show. It's running on near empty. So what have you got planned for the next couple of weeks?
So I'd go back to Lear this week in the Freestyle. I take four horses there. And then I'm going to do Centaur 2 weeks in the end of October. And then I'm going to head down to Dubai for the winter. The horses leave in this early December. And then we start showing already on the 17th of December.
That's great. And I hope, obviously, you do really well and your new horses keep going into great form. And I'm sure we'll be looking out for you at all the shows and hoping you do really well. So thank you very much, Sam, for coming on to the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast.
Yeah, and thank you so much to Sam Hutton for coming on and talking to us there. It was really interesting hearing his views and where he's come from and what he's doing now. So yeah, wish him all the best. And thank you again. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back again next week.